Our scripture today is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 1 to 12. Let's pray before we begin. We thank you, Lord, for this chance to be in your word together, to read what it is that you have for us, to experience firsthand your son Jesus in this moment, the word made flesh, the light unto our feet. Lord, we thank you that you help to illuminate our path, our journey in life, and that you do that together for all of us. Lord, we thank you and ask that our hearts and our spirits are able to hear what it is that you have for us, to be able to embrace it with our being and draw closer to you. Anything not from you, we pray, is forgotten. But that which is from you, we pray, makes its way into our very center, that we may become more yours always. We pray this in Jesus' name. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 to 12. Hear now God's word. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Oh, you can do it. There you go. Of this gospel, I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ and to make everyone see what is the plan of mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. So that through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Okay, our scripture today is kind of the alternate scripture for Epiphany. Of course, Epiphany is that time that we celebrate. I mentioned it during the children's message. It's the time that we celebrate and recognize and remember, you know, all of that, the coming of the wise men. The wise men play a very, very important role in the story of Jesus. As Jesus came into this world, being born through Mary, the angel came to the wise men and they told them that the Messiah has come. Or I'm sorry, not the wise men, the shepherds. And then 8 days after Jesus was born, they went to Jerusalem in order to dedicate him in the way that they're told in the Old Testament. And Anna and Simeon were there, and they rejoiced at the coming of the Messiah. They are all Jewish. And so this coming of the Messiah, oftentimes from a Jewish perspective, is seen as the Messiah being for the Jews only. And there's reason to think that, as you look back all the way to Abraham, that God had set apart a particular people for himself, the Jewish people, that in that being set apart, they may be used in order to show God's goodness. So all the world can see that God is greater than any of the other gods. And God is the only God. But then the coming of the wise men shows something different, something greater in a way. that Jesus's purpose was to come and bring freedom to the Jews, but also through the Jews, through Christ, all people. And it's the wise men who recognize that Jesus was King of Kings. And so today is that day that, that we as a Christian church, during our worship, celebrate that. But our worship for Epiphany, honestly, is a little lackluster. The Western Christian church has two high holy days. Those two high holy days are, of course, Christmas and Easter, more or less. And we go all out for Christmas and Easter. Both Christmas and Easter have days of preparation that comes before them. Easter, we have Advent, which is about Christmas, we have Advent, which is about 4 weeks. And Easter, we have Lent, which is 40 days, not counting Sundays. That we're supposed to throw ourselves into preparation and study so that we can fully understand what it is that we're celebrating on the days that are coming up. Of course, for Advent, Christmas, for Lent, Easter. In preparation for this sermon, I had asked Stephanie if she would ask her Italian friends that she talks to if they know what Epiphany is. And when I asked her that, you know, asked the Italians if they would know if they know what Epiphany is, she kind of laughed at me. Because for the Italians, Epiphany is almost as big as Christmas, if not bigger, if not, at the very least, not as big as Christmas. In fact, many European Christians and nations celebrate Epiphany to a huge degree. The Epiphany is so important to them, and the celebrations that surround them, the traditions are things that are almost on a national scale. For example, this picture here for the sermon, you have this little thing. Does anyone know what that is? If you know what that is, go to mute yourself and share with us what that is.
Is that a Danish?
Danish, without Danishes are wonderful. No, that's not a Danish, but that is a really good guess.
Oh, Drake, what is this? You did this in school with the La Befana and all that. What is that? What the Italians have for their Christmas. Oh, come on. We just did this. Yeah, the witch is La Befana, but what is the food they eat?
They eat
the the pelotoni or... Yeah, they eat duck. But what is the fruitcake pound cake thingy that they eat? It's got
very,
fruits.
Very close. That's not what this is, but you're on the right track.
Okay. I'm trying to remember this remote learning stuff that we just went through. this feels like this is right on the same page.
It is. So in Italian, the bread, the celebration bread, Stephanie, please correct me here. You have Pandora, and you have, I think you were close, Jess, it's like Palatone or something. I know I butchered that. Stephanie, you want to chime in with the correct? No? That's all right. So anyway, this particular tradition here is from Mexico. You're right with La Befana. In fact, I'll show you a picture of her. The Italians' Epiphany celebration is all out, and it's enormous. And La Befana is the more or less their Santa Claus, the mother of all Italian children who goes around giving gifts. And there's, look up Wikipedia. It's fascinating. That's just one Epiphany celebration. Mexico has their own. This cake is called Rosca de Reyes, which translated is Cake of the Kings. And it's shaped like a crown. It's a sweet bread with candy fruit. And inside of this cake is a little figure of baby Jesus. So make sure you eat responsibly and very carefully with this. The bread I was trying to say is panettone. Panettone. Okay. Italian bread. And the reason that they had baby Jesus in this bread is to represent the hiding of baby Jesus from King Herod. How many times throughout our traditions do we celebrate the hiding of baby Jesus from King Herod? I can't think of a single one. Let me share this here with you. Got some more to share. I'll pull this up here. Oh, find it. Let me find it. Where are you? Is this it? Yep, that's it. Okay. So in Malaga, Spain, they have a parade, a very large parade, of which one of the main floats is three wise men that hand out gifts. Three wise men is kind of their Santa Claus. Warsaw, Poland, also a great big parade, along with the three kings, which they have named Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar. And they travel through Warsaw with camels and a few llamas, and there's even a Chinese dragon. This picture here, if you see it, is that is La Befana in the Italian tradition of their celebration. Lima, Peru also has a great parade with the Magi. Even New Orleans has a cake, which they share with one another. And in one of the slices, you can find a little figurine or token. It's called the King Cake. Guatemala also has parades with the wise men and the Virgin Mary. We'll talk about this picture of this man kissing this cross next week, because it has to do with some of their celebrations. For us, Epiphany is just another Sunday, honestly. We don't do a whole lot with it. It's something that we mention on that special Sunday. But how many of you have woken up this morning, stretched, and said, praise God, today is Epiphany Sunday? And got out the king cake and made the pastries and are having a feast. Not many of us. Western Christianity has kind of swept this under the rug, much to our detriment. And the reason being is because this is the day that we remember that Jesus's gift is to all of us. All people in every part of this world, that God's work through his son Jesus has left no one out. That when we talked in the children's sermon about the exclusivity of so many different organizations and places for one reason or another, that through Jesus Christ, inclusivity was born. Christ became the king of all. And that's worth celebrating with parade and with shouts and with thanksgiving. That this message today is quite simple. For all it is that I pray that today and through next week, we're able to celebrate and remember in special ways that aha moment of the church. That's not about us. Not as Christians, it's about all of us, all over the world. Christ came to die and came to love all of us. And I pray that we celebrate that by loving those who are around us, regardless of who they are. That I think is the message of Epiphany, and it should not be overlooked. Close with the reading of this final benediction. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen and amen. Go in peace. Happy New Year. And I hope you guys have a wonderful week.